If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We speak now to Philippa Geert, founder and CEO of Recruit My Mom. Told you about it earlier on that there's a finding that South African women are seeking more flexible careers as workplace barriers persist. Let's find out what those barriers are. And what kind of careers are South African women looking into? The 2025 Working Women's Report. Philippa Geert, a very good evening to you. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Hi, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on air tonight. I really appreciate it.
So let's look at the figures that the Working Women's Report paints. And women of eligible age, because the picture is also quite skewed in South Africa, isn't it? They got children who are working, who shouldn't be working, and yet there are adults out there who want work and can't find work, and the graduates who study for careers that can't get into them.
Absolutely. And so what we did with this report was we particularly took the 18 to 64-year-olds, because that's, you know, 65 is tends to be the retirement age. And we wanted to particularly look at the sector of working women in South Africa. So this report is the largest of its size. It's much bigger than the one we did in 2024, with over 3,700 women responding to the survey, which was extremely exciting for us to get this level of data.
Just as a matter of reminder, I remember the figure, but I can't remember it quite as well. What is considered the legal working age in South Africa? And is it a regional district thing?
Tamisa, I would actually be lying if I told you that there was a regional thing. I'm not aware of it. Mm-hmm. But as far as I'm aware, is that you can legally work from 18, which is generally when people are leaving school. As long as you are 18, you're considered an adult. And so therefore, you're eligible to work.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking you is I remember seeing something that spoke about the age of 15. So with conditions, I just can't remember where I read it. And I remember finding it surprising. So it was just important for me to, you know, situate myself in the right, you know, headspace here. So we've been talking about people seeking employment. So let's go back to that report. How many of the women that are actively seeking employment actually find it? What are the conditions?
So the good news is, and I always like to start with good news because I think that our country is so full of bad news that sometimes we just need to hear the good news, right? Mm. And the good news is that overall women said that in the past 5 years, both gender diversity and working conditions have improved for women. And I think that's something to celebrate. It means that companies are taking note of what is required to get women into their careers and into growth paths. And it means that the working conditions that they're seeing are improving for women. And I think, you know, we definitely shouldn't overlook that. However, as you've mentioned, you know, let's, you know, discuss the barriers. You know, what are women seeing as real barriers to growth in their careers? And if you don't mind, I want to give some context to why this is so important. Is that what we're seeing is that you definitely have more women entering universities, graduating from universities, entering the workplace as educated woman talent, female talent. But then as you start moving into the various management levels, the higher you go, the less women you see, and you really see a disparity between men and women. And one has to ask, particularly as Gen Z and Gen Alpha are coming into the workplace, they're becoming more gender neutral in terms of how they see gender roles. And so we expect that in the future, there's going to be a lot more women wanting to stay and enter in their careers. So we need to understand what are the barriers that women are facing and how do companies really move towards fixing that if they're going to win in the long run. And so the number one barrier at the moment is internal growth opportunities. So we didn't delve into why that might be, but that could be a result of the the economy currently, where perhaps companies aren't growing the way they would like to. And so people aren't seeing the opportunity to grow in promotions. But what we are able to say is that if you can't grow somebody in a promotional way, you certainly can grow them by skills development, stretch projects, leadership opportunities, and just giving them different experiences that allow them to grow. And so that was one of the key barriers that came out of the study. Secondly, was a lack of mentorship and networking. And that was very interesting to have a look at that data. And then thirdly, was inflexible work policies.
And we're going to talk about the behind the scenes of recruitment trends in South Africa later on in the program, but it would be interesting to know how much those recruitment tools and trends are part of the solution or conversely the barriers for women.
And so just particularly recruitment trend, can you give me an example of a particular trend you might be thinking of?
So advertising or even the specs that are put for a job. So if we just look at the barriers that for women and men, between the genders, between the sexes, some are a bit insidious, right? So some can say, I'm looking for this level of experience, but that can be overlooked for a certain candidate, either because of a particular work experience or, I don't know, there are a myriad reasons that are sometimes given to jobs, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we're trying to say about through this report and what we're seeing in terms of attraction and retention strategies that companies can employ is that there are definite attraction things that women are particularly looking for. So salary is number one. Women are looking for financial stability, and that is the first thing they'll look at when they are looking for a job. So when advertising a job, advertise the salary and also be open, have transparent remuneration policies in organizations. And then the other thing is that over 80% have got dependents. And so women are looking after parents, they're looking after children, they're looking after siblings or extended family members. And so the financial burden on women is becoming greater. And we've seen that we've got 41% of the women that we surveyed being the sole income earner within their home. And so when one is recruiting, is to consider the salary. Second of all, benefits that they look for. Number one, medical aid contribution. It is vitally important for women to, when they're looking for a role, that the role is able to offer in some way or form some kind of medical aid contribution. And so there's so many nuances in this report and so many insights that will help employers to attract and retain incredible talent. Flexible work policies is a big retention tool and an attraction tool. You know, people have this misconception that young people want to be in office and people who have children want remote working. And then when you finish having your children, you're happy to come back to the office. Well, that's not actually what the report is saying. The report is saying overwhelmingly that people are looking for a more hybrid way of working if they can, full-time, because they're looking for the financial stability, but actually they're looking for hybrid ways of working. And that even goes to your 18 and 24 year olds. So some really fascinating insights that employers can be using to attract and retain fantastic talent in our country.
And again, when I go back to those disparities between, the people who end up getting the jobs or the ones who are hard done by in terms of the lack of transparency, not only in the pay structure, as you say, flexibility for working conditions. Many women will tell you, if we talk about glass ceilings, is because if you are looking for flexibility, they'll say it's a gender thing, that because you are getting pregnant or because you have to look after a family. So the playing field is definitely not level. Is there any improvement? And what about lateral moves across departments or job rotation? How much is that a deterrent for women?
Yeah, you know, they talk about the missing middle. So what happens to women in the middle of their careers? And that's often during those childbearing years where women will take a break. In fact, the data is overwhelmingly, it shows that over 90% of women will actually take a career break at some stage and then they will return to work. And it's at that point where inflexible work policies often will hold women back because they can't take what we call those greedy jobs, which are the big jobs that require them to be working, you know, the longer hours, and the expectations from employers are very high. But what the reality is that if our workforce, our educated workforce in South Africa, is becoming largely female, is already largely female. You just have to look at the statistics of people coming out of tertiary education and entering the workforce. Then it's very short-sighted if we as employers and companies don't start to think about how do you then help those women to not fall off the career ladder in that middle area of their lives, but rather to assist them through all the way to senior and executive level, knowing that diversity and diverse thinking actually delivers higher profitability to any company. And what this report shows is if you offer a level of flexibility. I mean, a lot of these women are not saying we want to work remotely. They're saying we want to have a hybrid way of working, in addition to which we want to be paid well, and we're looking for other benefits like a medical aid contribution. Then chances are companies will be able to more easily get them through all the way from starting through that middle period, not overlook them because they're female, and get them all the way to senior management because they recognize the value of having diverse senior leadership in their companies.
Philippa, are there shining lights from your report that show companies that are not only flexible but are proactive? Because as you mentioned, those factors, they are people who are actually doubly more productive when conditions are created for them to perform well. And I also want to look at the job market because of migration, etc., and also the lack of companies in rural areas, even though that's a promise the government has made for a while now. Is the job pool smaller in certain provinces because of that, because of a higher population?
Yes. I mean, you've got a couple of things happening there. You've got higher populations and not necessarily high economic growth. And so you've got, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of what we need to talk about in the job market is lack of economic growth in our country. So if you can move that economic growth, you know, across the board higher, you've got a lot more chance of absorbing the workforce that is looking for work. So an interesting insight is that one of the barriers that came up quite high for women over the age of 45 was age bias. So the minute they hit 45, there's a perception that age is the reason why I'm not getting employed. And we know that, because we're in the recruitment space, through Recruit My Mom, we obviously understand this, that actually the older you are, yes, there are barriers to people wanting to employ you, but it's not just age. And 45 is quite young to be thinking you're too old to be employed. Actually, what it is that the economy is under strain. There's a lot of people looking for work. Over 50% of women in this report are working and looking for another job, because of inflexible work policies. So you've got a lot of people looking for the same jobs and an economy that's not necessarily growing. And it's exacerbated in provinces where you have a very high population.
Philippa, thank you so much for speaking to us. Unfortunately, there's so much to ask you, but so little time, because it would have been nice to hear about people getting managerial roles, even if they don't have the learnership training or the formal training for that. where opportunities are granted, whether through mentorship or whatever. But thanks so much for sharing your time and information. Philippa Geard, founder and CEO of Recruit My Mom. It's about a report sharing about a report on South African women as they seek flexible careers and also looking at the workplace barriers that exist.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.